This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts, Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad Nabiyyir Rahma Kashfil Ghumma wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama taslima. Allahumma laka alhamdu ala ma an'amta alayna min ni'amin la tuhsa ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma ja'alna laka min al-ibad al-shakirin al-dhakirin bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Alhamdulillah, in our sessions on the 40 hadiths on the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the second set of hadiths in the 40 sets of 40 hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, compiled by the great Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani rahimahullah ta'ala, we reached hadith number 6. An Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha annaha kanat taqul قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سددوا وقاربوا وأبشروا فإنه لن يدخل أحد الجنة بعمله أو لن يدخل أحدا الجنة عمله. This narration, أنه لن يدخل أحدا الجنة عمله. قالوا ولا أنت يا رسول الله قال لا ولا أنا إلا أن يتغمدني الله برحمته. So سيد عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها used to say كانت تقول, because this is something she would repeat frequently, and she used to repeat this frequently as a reminder, right, that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, saddidu waqaribu wa abshiru. And he, one of the reasons she said it often, because the Prophet ﷺ said this on multiple occasions. And we have several hadiths with similar wording related to this. Saddidu waqaribu wa abshiru. And this is min jawami'i kalimihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the encompassing words of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, utitu jawami' al-kalim, I was granted encompassing speech. His words were few, but they had tremendous meanings. Saddidu wa qaribu wa abshiru. Saddidu is from sadad. Saddidu is amrun bi sadad. It's a command. Saddidu. Right? And sadad is shooting straight. Right? Sadad is to shoot straight, to shoot. You say sadadur ramya is when you have the capacity to shoot straight. Saddidu. Meaning, you could say saddidu is be purposeful. Right? Be purposeful. Or remain purposeful. Always act with purpose. Every action has an aim, has a purpose. So your action should be directed towards its purpose. Saddidu. But also, it needs to, the action needs to be such that it is going towards its purpose. Because you don't say, oh, I'm trying to hit the target, but you're shooting in the wrong direction. Right? So saddidu contains the meaning of have a purpose. Aim for the purpose. Take the means that will cause you, that should cause you to hit the target. Saddidu. So same thing. Someone says, I want to be on the spiritual path. But be purposeful. Why do you want to be on the spiritual path? What would you do that would get you there? And then are your actions the actions that would get someone there? You're saying, I want to be a student of knowledge. Why? To what end? Right, so there's a sense of aim. And then the right means, in the right way. Right, all of that. So be purposeful. Have a purpose. Have the pursuit that would cause you to reach that purpose in the way that would cause you to reach that purpose. So, saddidu, okay, is an amazing term. And you can visualize it as, you know, have a target. But then shoot towards that target in a way that would cause you to hit that target. Saddidu. You can also translate it, saddidu. Sadad is to be steadfast. Okay. Steadfast. Saddidu. Right? So remain committed. You could try to be purposeful. You could also translate it as remain committed. Right? Remain committed. Saddidu. Now that's not easy. Right? Because sometimes we're not shooting that well. Right? Sometimes you may have foggy life vision. Like, what's going on? So, وَقَارِبُ قَارِبُ and do the best you can. Do the best you can. You know you could do better. But right now, right? So you, let's say you committed to pray 2 rak'ahs every night before you go to sleep. Now you're exhausted. And you know you should pray standing up, and you know you should put on a jilbab before you pray, or you want to put on something loose that covers your aura loosely as a man, because it's sunnah. And where's the cap? So, you know we won't be able to do that. Waqaribu, do the best you can. So, can't pray standing, pray sitting down. It's nafil. Involuntary prayers, you can pray sitting down. You won't go and put something on top of your pajamas, pray in your pajamas, if your awra is covered. Can't cover your head, still, yeah, for a brother, just do the best you can. وَقَارِبُ. Why? Because at the heart of it, you are praying 2 rak'ahs for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a big deal. Right? That's a big deal. وَقَارِبُ. If you can't do something completely, don't leave it. Do the best that you can do. وَقَارِبُ. But قَارِبُ, that's the primary sense. Do the best you can. قَارَبَ, a shay, is to come close to it, approximate. But قَارِبُ, some of the commentators on the hadith, also mentioned, qaribu also means, qaribu, act seeking to draw close to Allah, from muqaraba, right? And make your actions purposeful, and above just being purposeful, like knowing why you're doing it, right? Always make your why connected to the Most High. Right? Qaribu. Always connected to seeking the qurb of Allah, the closeness of Allah. Saddidu wa qaribu. And if that's what you're doing, right, you're trying to shoot straight. Right? You're trying to shoot straight. You're trying to, as best you can, draw close to Allah, وَأَبْشِرُوا, and be of glad tidings. Be of glad tidings. Why? وَأَبْشِرُوا. Okay. Be of glad tidings. Because if you are acting with purpose, you want to seek the pleasure of Allah. Right? Or you want to do that which is pleasing to Allah. Seeking to draw closer to Allah. You're doing the best that you can do. Qaribu. So he said, "Didu." Right? Be purposeful. You're acting with purpose. Purpose that is pleasing to Allah. In the way that what saddidu wa qaribu, and do the best that you can do, that you're able to do. And Allah does not make us responsible for more than we're able. So qaribu. Or act with purpose, seeking through that purpose that is pleasing to Allah to draw close to Him. Abshiru, be of glad tidings. Because Allah looks at your hearts. And He deals with His creation on the basis of mercy. Which is why then the Prophet ﷺ said, because it can also seem overwhelming, right? There's an aspect, be purposeful, that's a high standard. Who upholds that? Do the best you can, mercy. Be of glad tidings, because know whom you're dealing with, the most merciful Lord. Then the Prophet ﷺ continued and said, فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يُدْخِلَ أَحَدٍ الْجَنَّةَ عَمَلُهُ. For no one will be entered into paradise by their actions. No one will be entered into paradise by their actions. No one's actions will cause them to enter paradise. It is mercy. Right? So the Sahaba asked a logical question. وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Not even you, O Messenger of Allah. Because your actions are so amazing. If anyone were to enter paradise by their actions alone, it would be you, O Messenger. So they said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Not even you, O Messenger of Allah. And of course, as other hadith indicate, the Prophet ﷺ referred to himself respectfully. He did not include himself. Some of the narrations, when the Prophet ﷺ used to mention it, he said, فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يَدْخُلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ بِعَمَلِهِ. For none of you will enter paradise by your works. The Sahaba were attentive and considerate. None of you will enter paradise to your works. The Prophet ﷺ did not include himself. So they noticed that. Right? Because they were seekers of knowledge. They were not slackers. But also, if no one will enter paradise through their action, that's a general statement. If there is an exception to the general statement, it would be him. So they noticed that he did not include himself when he did not include himself. But when he included him in the general statement, but the general is not absolute. There's a difference between saying, no one will enter paradise, and no one whatsoever will enter paradise by their actions. So a general statement could have an exception. So they asked, because they noticed that, because they paid attention. وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ. Not even you, O Messenger of Allah. And our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, وَلَا أَنَا. Not even I. إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ. Unless Allah were to envelop me in His mercy. Unless Allah were to envelop me in His mercy. And Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani, and this hadith is related by both Bukhari and Muslim. And Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani usefully explains, والسداد الاستقامة والقصد في الأمور والاعتدال فيها. Right? He said sadad is uprightness in matters, and having is sadad, steadfastness, if you try to say it that way, is be upright and purposeful in your matters and be balanced therein. Right? And he said qaribu is similar in meaning. Qaribu is be balanced. Iqtasidu. Without excess. Qaribu is either, right, be balanced without excess, or do the best you can. Right, don't overdo things. Right? Do the best you can, even if the standard is higher. Right? The Prophet ﷺ said in other similar narrations, in the beginning, استقيموا ولن تحصوا. Strive for complete uprightness, but know that you won't be able to be completely upright. فَسَدِّدُوا. So remain steadfast. وَقَارِبُوا. Do the best you can. That applies in seeking knowledge. Just we took today in our tutorial, grammar tutorial before, that when you study something, there's many things you could learn about it, but you have to know, okay, there's this extra detail, I won't do it right now. Do the best that, do what you can right now, and the rest will come after. You have to, that's part of the internal discipline of the seeker. That's hadith number 6. The 7th hadith, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تكون الأرض يوم القيامة خبزة واحدة يتكفأها الجبار بيده كما يتكفأ أحدكم خبزته في السفر نزلا لأهل الجنة رواه البخاري ومسلم ونزل الضيف ما ما يكرم به. Right? Now, for those of you who are attending, right, the discipline of being a student would be if you, you know, that you prepare for a class and immediately you know what, like an unusual word, for example, would be. But we won't expect that. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam relates that on the day of resurrection, the entire earth will be one piece in the grasp of Al-Jabbar, right? The overpowering Lord, right? Al-Jabbar. And he'll be grasping it in his hand, as one of you holds their, their bread in their journey. They hold onto it, right? They grasp onto it. This is your provision on a journey, and they hold onto it, right? Like you clasp onto it. It's because you're not going to let go. Because if you're on a journey, imagine your journey in the desert. It's not literally clasp onto it. But you're very protective of it. Why? Because if you lose your bread on a journey, you're dead. Right? Nuzulan li ahlil Jannah. As an honoring for the people of Jannah. So the whole earth, all of material creation will be in the grasp of the overwhelming Lord. In the firm grasp. Like the way one of you would grasp their provision in a journey as a nuzul. What is nuzul? Nuzul is what you honor the guest with. Right? So because إِذَا نَزَلَ عِنْدَكَ الضَّيْفِ, if a guest comes to you, the nuzul is what you prepare to honor your guest. Okay? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the reward. نُزُلًا مِنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ. This is the feast that is prepared from the all-forgiving and most merciful. It's an amazing term. I'd encourage you to look up this term. Right? Mentioned in the Quran. Nuzul. Some people wrongfully imagine nuzul is nazala. It's like from coming down. Right? But nuzul is what you place down, right, as a feast to honor your guest. Right? You, someone who's come from a long journey. Right? And this is one of the bad adab that or loss of adab that people have. If someone in the house or someone in your family or you have a guest, right, then this is the time to honor them. It may be at an awkward hour, whatever, but it's a divine sunnah. Right? Allah prepare, like we are his guests in paradise, and he'll honor the believers. And this is, you see this in the stories of, for example, of the Prophet, Sayyidina Ibrahim, when the guests came. He slaughtered for them even though they had very little. The Prophet ﷺ taught the Sahaba by example and teaching to honor the guests, especially the guest who arrives. The guest who arrives from a journey, for example, you honor them. Right? Even if it's late, sometimes people ask you, are you sure you don't want dinner? They say, no, I really do. I say, no, I'm fine. So, are you sure? Right? That kind of negative question begs. And those, and there's certain meals that are blessed, even if the person does not partake of them. Someone comes, you prepare food for them to honor them. And if they don't eat it, that is a sunnah meal. That meal is a blessed meal. Other people in the household eat it, whatever. But these sort of sunnah occasions, we shouldn't sort of, it's not really about them, right? Alone. And other things, like if a guest comes, you don't ask them, should I make you tea? Right? You prepare things, or you just give them an option, either A or B. It's not, do you want A or B? Right? Because ikram, right? Honoring, is commanded. Right? So here, this is telling us about, one, how all of creation will be in the grasp of Al-Jabbar. Now, Al-Jabbar is one of the most beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Al-Jabbar has two meanings. Jabr, okay, Jabr has a meaning of overwhelming power. Jabbar is the majestically overpowering. But the meaning indicated by Jabbar is the one who has complete control over something. Right? It's all, as is hadith, in his grasp. But Jabbar is also man yajburul qulub. Jabr has overwhelming power, but that power has a sense of might, but also has a sense of mercy. What is a caste called in Arabic? Called Jabira. Why? Because it envelops something and it restores it. Yeah, so he's Jabira Qulub al-Munkasira. He is the one who puts together the hearts of those who are broken-hearted. Right? And that's, it's come in that sense in a number of the du'as of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? And all the earth will be in his grasp, because on that day, whom will all of this be granted to? Will be granted to the people of paradise. As an honoring. We'll read the 8th hadith as well. عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يكشف ربنا عن ساقه فيسجد له كل مؤمن ومؤمنة ويبقى من كان يسجد في الدنيا رياء وسمعة فيذهب ليسجد فيعود ظهره طبقا واحدا رواه البخاري ومسلم. This is one of the hadith al-mutashabiha, one of the hadiths that is unclear in its meaning, describing the day of resurrection. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this incident in the Quran, يوم يكشف عن ساق, and ساق is قوام الشيء. Right? Literally, the ساق is the trunk of something. The ساق in the leg, what part of it is it? Right? Because the leg begins with the foot, and then it has this gnarly thing called your ankle, and then it goes up. Right? The ساق refers to the vertical part of something before it starts bubbling up for your knee. Right? So it refers to the shin, right? The purely vertical part of the leg. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ, and they will be called to prostrate. When what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ, and they will not be able to. So some of our literally minded brethren, may Allah grant them and us clarity, they said, Well, from Allah's names is that he has a, Allah's attributes is the shin. And Ibn Abbas explained it. He said, if you wish to understand the Quran, and when something is unclear, then look to the poetry of the Arabs. Look to the poetry of the Arabs. Right? So, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقْ, the day that the shin will be uncovered, that shin will be uncovered. What shin is it referring to? The Arabs used to talk about the state of war when it became active, when there's commotion. In war specifically, but in general, when there's commotion, something's going on. What would people do? Arabs would wear thobes, would wear long garments, or an izar, right? Which would pull around their legs, so they would raise their leg, they raise their lower garment, or their thobe, to be able to run better. So the shin would be uncovered. So, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقْ, the day the shin will be uncovered, Ibn Abbas himself explained that this is referring to the usage of the Arabs, the day where there is great commotion, such that, you know, shins would have been uncovered, people would have rushed this way and that, the day of great commotion. That's one interpretation. The other is that this is referred to Saqul Arsh in hadith such as this. So Allah uncovers his saq, is not Allah uncovers his shin. If you read a translation like this, close that book of hadith, because this is a literalist innovation that is not the understanding, not of the Salaf, nor of the later scholars. Anyone who believes that Allah has a shin is an anthropomorphist. Why? Because the imams of our deen, actually the Sahaba of Sayyid al-Mursaleen, made it clear. What does this term mean? Allah uncovers this, you know, when Allah manifests this day of commotion, right? This day of consternation. That's the principal meaning. Or he shows the believers the saqul arsh, the legs of his throne, right? The throne becomes manifest, and the throne is more encompassing than anything else in creation. And so the hadith, when Allah uncovers when Allah manifests this day of commotion, right, said the Prophet ﷺ, so all will prostrate to him, meaning when they're called to prostrate, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, all believers, male and female, will prostrate to him. But those who used to prostrate in this life out of arrogance or conceit, riya and sum'a, to show off, or to or conceitedly, will remain without prostrating. So they فَيَذْهَبُ لِيَسْجُدُ, so they go to try to prostrate, but their back would return completely straight. And this is, of course, referring to what will happen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ, when, you know, the day when the tremendous commotion is manifest, and they're called to prostrate. وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ, which is, of course, the means of mercy and of closeness to the merciful. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ, and they will not be able to. Why? Because how you are in the hereafter will mirror how you were in this life. Right? So the believers who prostrated sincerely for Allah, humbling themselves to Allah, will be able to. Whereas those who did it out of showing off, and conceit, they hadn't truly prostrated to Allah in this life, and they will not be able to in the hereafter. Nasalullah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-afiyah min dhalik. Right? So the critical thing here is, what is the meaning of yawma yukshafu an saq? Right? And it's not referring to the shin of Allah. Right? And also because idafa, ascription, is of many types in the Arabic language. You know? So, an saqihi, his saq, does not necessarily mean the saq that is his, in that it is somehow a part of him. Can also be that the idafa here can convey the meaning of from him, right? Or that belongs to him, right? His is liman al-mulk al-yawm, whose is the dominion on this day, right? The day, his day, when his authority is now manifest, that overwhelming day where his authority is manifest, right? So that's what it means, and that's how the great imams have explained this hadith. The hadith is in Sahih Muslim, but it's also telling us about the awesome nature, the awe-inspiring nature of the day of resurrection, and who finds the serenity of submission on that day? Those who submitted in this life with sincerity. It's a call to leave these two destructive qualities of riya, of showing off, and of sum'a, and of conceit. Riya is when you show your actions, you do actions to show others, and sum'a is when you talk about your actions to others. So riya is from showing. Sum'a is when you talk about them. Oh, and that can be direct and indirect. So tired, tahajjud last night was... Yeah, so you didn't say it directly, but you say it indirectly. Because you're saying, I'm tired, but you're pointing to, and that's very dangerous. And of course, the third, that there's three related qualities. There's riya, which is showing off. Sum'a, which is talking to others about it. And there's ta'ajjub or ujb, which is, you know. So sum'a is talking about one's good deeds. Ujb is when you are impressed by your own good. So it's self-talk, it's self-praise. That was so good. Right? And the key to it is to ascribe all good to Allah. And we'll resume from hadith number 9 next lesson, inshallah. We're going to look just very briefly at Ta'alim al-Mut'allim by Sheikh, by Imam al-Zarnuji, on the adab of the seeker of knowledge. And where did we stop? Okay, yeah, I have a footnote. I was just wondering if you guys knew. Okay. So we looked last time, we're talking about the importance of intention in seeking knowledge. And this is Ta'alim al-Mut'allim by Imam al-Zarnuji. The importance of intention in seeking knowledge. And that one does not seek worldly position or rank through knowledge unless that position or status is sought as a facilitative means of fulfilling a recognized religious purpose. Right? So we... Right? Because in itself, worldly attainment is worth nothing. And that's the poem, some lines of poetry. This is worldliness, less than the least of things. And the one who loves it is the most abased of the abased. Right? And it deafens and blinds, and those who seek, who pursue it, are bewildered and abased. So then he gives an advice for people of knowledge. And Ahlul Ilm refers both to those who've attained knowledge, right, meaning the scholars, but also those who aspire to attain knowledge, namely seekers of knowledge, right? تحقيقاً وتقديراً, right? So he says, رحمه الله تعالى ونفعنا به, وينبغي لأهل العلم ألا يذل نفسه بالطمع في غير مطمع ويحترز عما فيه مذلة العلم وأهله. It is incumbent upon the people of knowledge not to abase themselves by being avid for that which one should not be avid for, and to hold oneself back from everything that abases knowledge and its people. Because whether you're a scholar or a student of knowledge, you are an ambassador of, or seeking to be an ambassador of, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you should not do things that are not befitting. You should not be avid for things that are not befitting a student of knowledge. So what are you doing? Oh, I'm going on vacations. Where are you going on vacations? I'm going on some burst of heedlessness. That's not becoming a student of knowledge. The vacations of a student of knowledge or personal knowledge would reflect that. Unless there's clear intentions, the purpose in it is clear and it's connected with that. They say, راحت أهل الخير في الخير. The rest of the people of good is in good. It's not in things that are contrary to that. Someone who is seeking knowledge, someone who is seeking Allah, they wouldn't just go pursuing things purely for dunyawi purposes. Particularly blameworthy things. And to hold oneself back from the things that abase knowledge, because you are representing what is knowledge is maja'a ar-rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is that which has come from the Messenger of Allah. So the person of knowledge is someone who say, I have the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So you are striving to be a wi'a, a container for the water of prophethood. For the life-giving water, Prophet. So be that way, in the way you conduct yourself, in the way you act, in the way you dress. Right? And in your character. So he says, وَيَكُونُ مُتَوَاضِعًا. And one should be humble. And what is humility practically? وَالتَّوَاضُعُ بَيْنَ التَّكَبُّرِ وَالْمَذَلَّةِ وَالْعِفَّةِ. Said, humility is a quality between arrogance on one side, on one extreme, and between abasement on the other. And restraint. Right? So there's two extremes, and what revolves around humility is dignified restraint. So you neither affirm yourself in a manner that causes you to arrogate yourself, nor do you negate yourself in a manner that puts yourself down. And what is the governing quality of tawadu is iffa. What's iffa? Is dignified restraint. You hold back from thinking highly of yourself, and you hold back from thinking lowly of yourself. This is why he says tawadu, humility, is between the two extremes of this, and what encircles it is iffa, which is dignified restraint. And he says, وَيُعْرَفُ ذَلِكَ فِي كِتَابِ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And that's known in books on prophetic character. And he's referring to a particular book. And then he praises humility. He says, أَنْشَدَنِي الشَّيْخُ الْإِمَامُ الْأَجَلُ الْأُسْتَاذُ رُكْنُ الْإِسْلَامِ المعروف بالأديب المختار. He quotes from this great scholar, who mentions the great imam, etc., the teacher, literally the pillar of Islam, the known as Al-Adib al-Mukhtar, who said in some lines addressing this poem, this poet addressed himself, إِنَّ التَّوَاضُعَ مِنْ خِصَالِ التُّقَى وَبِهِ التَّقِيُّ إِلَى الْعَالِي يَرْتَقِي إلى المعالي يرتقي ومن عجائب وعفوا ومن العجائب عجب من هو جاهل في حاله أهو السعيد أم الشقي أم كيف يختم عمره أو روحه يوم النوى متسفل أو مرتقي والكبرياء لربنا صفة به مخصوصة فتجنبها واتقي. He says, this great this poet who's a great imam of Islam said, truly humility is from the qualities of a person of piety, the muttaqi. By it, the pious to all high matters rise up, yartaqi. Yattaqi wa yartaqi. Yattaqi, they're mindful and they hold themselves back, which is the root of taqwa or piety, holding oneself back. To the extent that you hold yourself back, yartaqi, you rise. It's a beautiful connecting of yattaqi and yartaqi. They restrain themselves and they rise. And from the most amazing things is the conceit of one who is ignorant of their own state. Are they of the people of felicity, the sa'id, or of the people of perdition, the shaqi? Or, and they're ignorant too of how their life will end. And whether their soul on the day when souls are exposed will be sinking or rising. And then he says, no, that haughtiness, kibriya, the affirmation of exaltedness, haughtiness, belongs to our Lord alone. It is His quality alone. So keep away from it and wattaqi, and be mindful. That's a beautiful poem, right? That you must, these are the qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? Embody, strive to embody those qualities. But then he balances that, right? He balances that, and we'll see in the next session, the advice of Imam Abu Hanifa, of the student of knowledge, to dress as a student of knowledge. Right? And this is important. Right? It's important. If there's a self-respect that a student of knowledge should have, and a sense of respect for the knowledge that they have. Right? Which is why, in many religious cultures, it's known what does a student of knowledge wear. There's certain base expectations for a student knowledge in different cultural contexts. That is just known that this is how they dress. Why? Because they're a student of knowledge. And people will know who the student of knowledge is because you are directed to something important. Right? And you have to have self-respect as well. And there's a distinction between how a student of knowledge would dress and how a scholar dresses. Right? But there are expectations in this, and they differ from context, but we'll be looking at how does Imam Abu Hanifa's very wise advice about, number one, how the student of knowledge dresses, and number two, how they conduct themselves. Right? And there's a beautiful story, we'll close with this. Imam Abu Hanifa was once on a journey as part of a caravan, and there was a fool, right? Like was clowning around. And all journey, he was making fun of Imam Abu Hanifa. And Imam Abu Hanifa was just relaxed with him. Just ignored him. But when they were about to reach the city, and I believe it was Baghdad, he told him, listen, all journey, you've been mocking me and making fun of me. And I did not mind. But now we're entering the city. People know me here as Abu Hanifa. And they respect me for the knowledge that I bear. If you say a single word about me, I'm going to report you to the authorities. But it wasn't about him. It wasn't about him. Right? It's about, you know, that's why the people of Quran call Hamalatul Quran. The people who bear the Quran. A student of knowledge is someone who's taking on this amana of prophetic guidance. So how one dresses, how one conducts oneself, one's bearing amongst people, what one involves oneself in. There's some things, they may be in of themselves permissible, but they're unbecoming a student of knowledge. Right? Even if it were permissible in Damascus, and different social contexts, certain considerations may vary, but in Damascus, for example, there was a documentary that was put up in one of the cinemas. It was a documentary about, I think about, it was about Damascus, whatever. It was just like a pure documentary. But it was put up at a cinema where normally sinful things are put up. And, you know, the French Cultural Center, whatever it's called there. The French, you know, they have this institute there. They invited the scholars to come for viewing. None of them went. Why? Because it's not becoming a person of knowledge to be seen in such a place. Even if it's for something in of itself, not blameworthy. Because that's not where a person of knowledge belongs. Okay? Right? And these things are, these are important considerations. And we'll be looking at that in the next session. بإذن الله تعالى وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.